This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? It is the Ticket City Podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, joined today by the entire Orange Bloods ensemble. Alex, Anwar, Dustin, Jason, we are all here. We're all ready to talk Texas football. We're closer now. We're almost, good grief, almost 2 weeks away. How many days is it now? Like 16 days away from the scheduled start of the 2020 season. So as we get closer to the football season, there's tons of stuff to talk about. Fellas, it is a nice, bright, shiny day in Austin, Texas. The hurricane weather's not going to reach us. How is everybody? We doing good? Alex,
I wouldn't have minded a little bit of one of these outer bands of the hurricane here,
because you made it rain last week.
Yeah, I've
Did you feel responsible for the water when it hit your neighborhood?
Whether I take credit for it, whether I don't take credit for it, it doesn't matter, man. I just got like an inch and three quarters of rain, like right after I did that bitching. So maybe I'll just that'll be my party shot every week until we.
You're gonna show up today and be like, man. We all need to get laid. You know,
that'd be good.
Whatever's on your grievance list, like bring it out. We should all like pull together. You know, if Dustin's got some new baby blues and hasn't had any loving in a while, like you could put that in there. Like, hey, you know, Alex, just say bitch about something and see what happens. Maybe we'll all get lucky. All right, fellas. So here's what we're going to do. I was trying to think of a way to make today's podcast a little different than what we've done in the past. Like, how can we juice it up a little bit? And some would say, look, you're 16 days out from the opener. Now that we actually have football stuff to talk about, maybe it doesn't need to get too juicy. But I heard a podcast a couple of days ago in my Liverpool Network podcast that I subscribed to, which was kind of the inspiration behind the Yak in the very beginning. And it was really fun. I thought it led to some really interesting discussion about Liverpool soccer as it gets ready to begin its new season. And I thought, you know what? We can do the same thing here on the Ticket City Podcast. So we're going to play a game today. And the name of this podcast and the name of the game will be King of the Mods. I am going to get, and this is going to require that all of you not cheat. Sukumel, you're from Bay City. You're the one I have to point the finger at.
No, we should be doing a video, right? Zoom call instead.
Well, see, if I had it on video, I could watch your hands.
Exactly,
you guys. Yeah. But because we're not doing video, like, there's got to be a little bit. We're gonna play a game.
I don't even know where you're going with this, so there's no way to beat you.
And it's all data driven. And what I need to know is that you guys aren't, in the name of trying to become king of the mod. And what's at stake here? If I can make it happen, could be 500 trophy points.
Well, I can do that. I can do that for myself regardless. I think I've got a million of them already, dude.
Don't say that. I was trying to like let everybody.
You should have said like $500. You should have said
$500. Yeah, that's where I thought he was going with it. Yeah, I'm like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and battle.
Then, here's what we'll do.
King, trophy points.
King of the mods today in this contest gets to decide where we do our next lunch whenever it is that we can do lunch again. And lunch will be paid for, but they get to choose where we go.
So that's, I like that.
That's not bad. That
you
can
know
be
how long it takes place. Us to get you a can lunch pick, together. I mean,
you can pick, you can pick a place like, kind of close to your house and stuff.
We could do takeout. We could go to a park like we did when we got Franklin's. We could social distance.
And
we
know how all, long like, that takes.
We could all eat interstellar barbecue. We could eat.
Let's
steaks.
Make a rule. It has to happen by the end of October. The weather will be cooling off.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's do it.
None
month.
Of this Franklin year and a half thing.
Let's do
too
it.
Hot
this
right
month.
Now, dude. I'm thinking September, October. But well, hell, this month ends in a few days anyway. So September.
Doesn't someone on this podcast owe someone else lunch already or something like that? Like Alex and Jason, did they have a bet?
Yeah, we all piggyback off of every bet. So yeah, at some point, I should be getting a free meal.
I still have a good year before I lose my Casey Thompson bet.
Yeah, that one's not just, over.
Yet. It's over, but it's a year before it's over.
Okay, so guys, here's what we're gonna do. Here's how the game works. I am going to give you guys a stat. And then we're going to take turns. We're going to rotate order. The first time we go through a question, 2 points are at stake. If for some reason the four of you can't come up with the answer after four guesses, then it gets, I'll give everybody a hint if a hint is needed, and then there will be 1 point available. At the end of the game, I've got 11 questions. We may not go through all of them. It kind of depends on. But what the goal of this is, when we get to a stat and after we guess who the person is that has the stat, it will open up conversation about this particular piece of the team that we will then be able to talk about things that are happening in practice and what our expectations are. And I think inside of this game, it's going to lead to some really interesting Texas football discussion. So we're going to do this in alphabetical order. I told Alex before we got started, this might be a little unfair. He may be the betting favorite going into this, given the number crunching that he does on this team. On a week basis.
Yeah, but so, definitely not on traditional counting stats.
No, and that's what I've done. And I tried to go as obscure as possible so that Alex wouldn't immediately go, oh yeah, I had that in the deep dig charts, and could either A, pull it off his chart in no time if he wanted to cheat. But I'm trusting that of all the people in this, Alex, Jason's the one I worry about. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Stat number one. Alex, you're first. 21 assisted tackles. The last year's leading tackler on the team that returns is Joseph Osai. And last, in terms of returning tackles, he had 28 assisted tackles. Who is the second leading returning tackler among assisted tackles on the team? Give me a name. We'll go in alphabetical order. 2 points are at stake. Alex, you get the first guest.
It's Juwan Mitchell.
No. Anwar. Juwan Mitchell, by the way, had 12. So way down the list by 9.
Wow. Damn, but this might be...
I wanted to go with a hard one in the beginning to give you guys an idea that this won't be necessarily layup line stuff. And if anybody guessed this, Alex, I went with you first, because if you guessed this, I know you're cheating. So... Anwar,
I'm gonna go with Jalen Green.
Incorrect. Jalen Green also had 9 assisted tackles last year. Jason, your guess. 2 points are at stake. You can take the
way off on this, but I'm gonna go with Chris Brown.
Incorrect. Also 9 assisted tackles. There is a guy on the team that returns with 21 assisted tackles. You guys haven't come close yet. Dustin, you're the last one that can get 2 points on this and take an early 2-0 lead.
I was going to go with a defensive back, but since you said that you're not even close, it makes me wonder if that's the wrong line of thinking. Oh, man. I'll go Caden Stearns.
Incorrect. Oh. Alex, I'm going to give you – everybody gets a hint now, okay? He's not a defensive back.
God, we suck at this.
the questions will blanks. Get easier. I really did start with the hardest one.
It's a linebacker, and it's not Juwan Mitchell. It's Dele.
That is correct. Dele Attaway with 21 assisted tackles last year. Hmm.
How many solos did he have, or is that a question?
He had 24 solo tackles. Did he finished with, when we look at, I don't want to give too much away, but he actually had a fairly successful season a year ago. Mm-hmm. When we look at returning players in terms of tackles, Adeoye is in the top 4. So it segues into a conversation about the linebacker position, which is, to me, Osai a year ago was the guy in terms of volume, in terms of everything else. And then we look at Adeoye, and he was right up there. The linebacker position, I have no idea, Anwar, completely what to expect in terms of where the production comes from, where the big plays come from, who they can lean on. it's very quietly one of the more unknown aspects of this team.
I mean, I would definitely have to agree with you on that one, especially since they're going to be throwing two guys out there as opposed to three. So maybe that kind of narrows it down just a tad bit. From a war room perspective, I did some digging this week on DeMarvion Overshown. And for the most part, everyone tells me he looks the part. He looks like the guy that can do it. Now, the only question might be, as relates to him, fourth and short, is he the guy that they put in? He may not be that popper that they think, like, hey, he's going to be that guy, can do it. But the other downs, they feel really confident in him. So so we start looking at certain things and unknowns. And Overshown at that will linebacker position seems to be a guy that they seem very, very happy with, from the weight gains to the footwork that's out there. You know, the only small thing is, you know, can he be there on short yardage situations?
Jason, do you love any of these linebackers? Like, Anwar just mentioned Overshown, and we all love the talent.
No.
Do you know how many assisted tackles DeMarvion Overshown had a year ago?
I can't remember.
I know you don't.
He played. No,
one. He made one assisted tackle, and now he may be the key to the linebacker position.
Yeah, but he was playing in a crowded backfield. He was banged up. I love his upside, but to answer your question, do I love any of them? No, not even Juwan Mitchell. I mean, we're not talking about guys who, you know, we're talking about being the next Derek Johnson. I mean, these are guys that,
Whoa.
I mean, these are a bunch of unproven guys. Juwan's, you know, he was okay at times last year, but he wasn't I wouldn't call Juwan Mitchell. I wouldn't say he was a plus player for the Texas defense last year. I mean, I think they're all going to be better this year, of course, with a year under their belt, but I don't love any of the linebackers. Now, you know me, man, I got to see it first. So maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe 2-3 weeks in the season, I'll be saying, hey, man, Juwan Mitchell's amazing. DeMarvion Overshown's amazing. Maybe one of these freshmen, you know, Jaden Hullaby or the Ford kid, maybe they jump up and surprise. But no, I think there are a lot of unanswered questions at that linebacker unit overall. But like Almar said, if you're only rolling out a couple of them, for the most part, at a time, you know, I think you can kind of navigate that with the guys they've got on campus. So I think they'll be okay, but they just need to answer some questions.
Alex, you got the you got the point. You got the question right. Ultimately, any confidence in Delly, or like what you, as a guy that breaks this defense down on film after every game, like your thoughts on this position as we are 16 days away from the start of the season?
Well, I think that I'm very excited to see DeMarvion Overshown at the will. I mean, I've talked about it before, but I know you talk about his, I guess, lack of production in the assisted tackle category, but you know, we got to remember he was a guy that, he last season he caused fumbles. He had pass breakups. I think he had an interception. You know, he allowed a very small completion percentage. He was as far as an all-around player, you know, like of qualifying players, I forget what exactly the number of snaps, but he was the most productive player per my charting on a per-snap basis. So I'm very excited to see him play at that will spot. I think that, you know, even though, you know, I agree with Jason that you can be worried about it and say that, you know, you're not sure what to expect, I have positive expectations for DeMarvion Overshown and what he's going to bring to that group. And then I think between Juwan Mitchell and Adeli Adeyewe there at that other inside linebacker spot, those are guys that have played, you know, serviceably. I think Delly looks too thick right now. I mean, I know he looks great in these Instagram pictures that he posts and stuff, and he sure looks like a dude that wants to be the first one off the bus, but he was already a bit stiff and kind of lumbering as it is. If this team's looking for a lot of sideline to sideline speed, you definitely get that with DeMarvion Overshown. And I think Juwan Mitchell probably brings a little bit more of that. You know, Omar was talking about that fourth and one downhill thumper. You know, that's the kind of, you know, Delly's the kind of guy who you want on the field in those kinds of situations. So, you know, as far as the overall look of the group, I think it looks fine. You might say that I have optimistic expectations for them, maybe a little bit higher than the rest, just because I am so high on Overshown as an athlete, and maybe I'm just kind of excited to see how he looks, just because we haven't got to go out to camp this year, we haven't got to see it, and you know, one of the things that was at the very top of my list was just to see how how Overshown looked at linebacker. So it's something that I remain really excited to see, and I have high hopes for.
Anwar, it's a chance for you to take the lead. You get the next question. You a chance to take 2 points and take the King of the Mod lead.
Hey, let's do it.
Brennan Eagles led the team in receiving yards per reception last year, 16.31, which makes him the leading returner in terms of yards per reception. The second leading returning receiver or player on the team in terms of yards per catch averaged 14.45 yards per reception. Who's the second highest returning yards per reception leader on the team coming back this season?
Jake Smith.
Incorrect. Jason, it's a chance for 2 points.
Well, you're going to me?
Yes, you're next. This just stays in a rotational order.
Is there a qualifying number of receptions?
I know. Receptions? I'm like, who else could it possibly be?
This can't be something.
Don't look.
You know what? Listen. If there's no qualifier, I'm going to go with Jordan Whittington.
I'm going to double one catch on the qualifiers because technically, you know what? It's a good point. Let me put a qualifier on this, okay? This is for players who caught more than 3 receptions.
And what's the average again?
Dang, there's a lot of dudes.
14.45 is the number.
Man, I have a feeling you're throwing us for a loop. And it's going to be like a tight end or a running back. But the only other one I can think of would be Alvante Woodard.
Incorrect. Dustin, you have a chance to steal 2 points.
And 3 catches. So the 3 catch thing, I think, eliminates a lot of receivers.
It eliminates. Let me tell you who it eliminates. Kennedy Lewis had 1 catch for 37 yards, so it eliminates him.
There was something like that. Okay.
Jared Wiley had 1 catch for 15 yards, so it eliminates him. And there's nobody else that would qualify.
So it's a returning guy. So it's not Jake Smith. It's not Brennan Eagles.
Jake Smith was less than 11 yards per reception.
And Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay grabbed a bunch of balls, and it's not those other receivers. I'm going to go with a tight end, and Jared Wiley, to my knowledge, might have only had 2 catches all year.
I literally just said Jared Wiley had 1
reception. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Is it Cade Brewer?
It is Cade Brewer!
Process of elimination.
159 yards, 1 touchdown a year ago. He averaged 17.67 yards per game, but 14.45 per carry. Dustin, it gives us a chance to talk about a tight end position that over the weekend played a lot. I mean, one of the notes from the scrimmage that caused people to kind of like, was the idea that they were running a lot of 12 personnel. Herman loves his tight ends, and as long as there are wide receiver injuries, he's always going to like rush to get 2 of them out on the field. What do we think about a tight end position that not only seems to have volume in terms of options, right? Because we talk about Brewer, and we talk about the addition of Malcolm Epps, and we talk about Jared Wiley and Librock. Like, this is a position group that's got some volume, but with the NCAA's announcement last week that they're not going to basically charge anyone eligibility this year, it also potentially opens the door up for a Cade Brewer return if for any reason he would want to. The tight end position isn't quite like the linebacker position because, you know, Cade Brewer, they've got guys that have played, I guess, a lot. And I don't know what to think of the group completely. I like the pieces, but I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really like the pieces, but I just don't know. We know Tom Herman likes tight ends. I don't know how much Mike Yurcich loves tight ends. I mean, just kind of looking at what he did at Oklahoma State and Ohio State, it seemed like most of the volume went to the receivers. But it's, you know, I heard the 12 personnel thing. I was like, I don't know how often we're actually going to see that, but it's something that Texas could do. We know Tom Herman loves Jared Wiley and his upside. You know, we know that they've recruited that position very well. Malcolm Epps is a name that I've heard more than I thought I would hear a couple weeks in the camp about what he's doing in the passing game. So they've got a lot of athleticism there. They've got a lot of size. They have a lot of pass catching ability. And I think they have enough enough mass and size to where you can put those guys on the field in kind of an inline situation and do what you want to do there. I just don't know how much of a role that whole position is going to play. But I like the pieces. Like you said, I like the pieces. I think they have some talent there. I think they have some young up and coming talent, but also some guys that could contribute this year. It's kind of weird that, you know, coming out of the scrimmage, it's, you know, we weren't talking about the receiver depth and talent. We were talking about the tight end depth and talent. And who knows? They could potentially play a little bit of a bigger role than I think people are anticipating. But, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I really like the individual pieces, especially if you start to look more long term. But I just don't know how much of a factor that position group is going to be for the offense this year, because I think they'd like to lean on that receiver group the most.
Anwar, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't get – because you are Mr. Tight End position.
Well, to be fair, I would like to file an official protest right now.
We're two questions in and you filed –
I'm filing a protest. Well, because I got asked the question and then everybody else got the qualifier after that. So I got – everyone else had the advantage after the
I knew this passed. Was going to happen.
So I
– By the way –
you took the guy that everybody would have guessed.
By the way – Smith would have been everybody's.
Alex – What did
Alex
I say?
Got the one what, with the
what did I say before the podcast started?
You say you did mention that at some point Anwar was going to complain about something.
Well,
I forget exactly what it was.
Listen, well, I'm glad you guys know me well enough. I don't take that as an insult.
You are our brew, right. And we know you after all these years. I told Alex and Dustin, I said, hey.
I just said my official thing now.
Okay. Hey, and look, if we if we get to the end of the game, Anwar, and we're within a plus or minus of two, you will absolutely be able to put in an official protest that this match doesn't count. Fair enough.
Why does that doesn't count? I'm just protesting.
Okay. Because before this thing is over, I will probably screw something else up too.
Well, to be fair, I'm not going to get many of these answers correct. So I will put that out there. No, the you know what's interesting is that I was trying to think back, like when you know. Was it? I think it was my Tom Herman interview where he started talking about Jared Wiley being a future NFL player, and that was like a whoa, where did this come from? Like out of the blue, like Jared Wiley, future NFL guy, and you know they finally moved Malcolm Epps over to that position, which is the position that we thought last year he should have been in, just because we thought he'd probably be better on the inside there. So when you start looking at that, plus the Cade Brewer. In having him there like that is a lot of options. That's, I think there's a lot of good weapons. I think Justin's correct when we start wondering about what does that look like. And I don't know what this, you know, what Laybrock looks like per se, but that being said, to have your Cade Brewers, to have Wiley, to have Epps, to be able to have these big guys that are there theoretically for Sam Ehlinger to be able to utilize at will, you would think that there are a lot of options, a lot of offensive options. It seems like there are plenty of weapons. So, yes, do we know exactly I'm going to get out of the tight end room? Like, none of us are expecting a 1,000-yard tight end or anything to that effect. But I do believe that it could be a very effective weapon. And I mean, Cade Brewer, I mean, you know, he's not Andrew Beck, but you know, he's pretty good. And that's a joke catch. But you know, the staff loves him. And so, you know, we'll just see what becomes of it.
It's funny, Almar, that you don't hear of Leibrock. He was, I think, by far the highest rated recruit of all the tight ends on the roster. So I'm just keep wondering when and if he's going to.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's because in terms of just the physical size, he might be if you're like putting that guy on
Jared
the field.
Wiley, six, seven.
He's like Wiley. 252, I think, listed now. Like, I just
Who's
don't
that,
think
Wiley?
That, yeah. I just don't think Leibrock has like that kind of mass yet.
No,
but I think he will eventually. You know, Cade Brewer was kind of like that when he showed up.
When I saw Leibrock, it was actually in Vegas. I went out and covered that. There was four or five games there, and one of the games was his. Good player, but he kind of struggled with his hands. Wasn't the most natural pass catcher. I mean, it's easy for me to say now after Tom Herman said, hey, Jared Wiley's a future NFL tight end. Man, I've always thought Jared Wiley was the guy that everybody was sleeping on after seeing him at the Rivals camp. I mean, I remember telling Josh McQuishan, or Oklahoma site, that I liked Wiley better than – it was Austin Stogner, the Rivals 100 tight end that Oklahoma had committed. And I think Wiley, man, I've said it before. I mean, obviously, Dustin, you said he's got great size. This is a guy who is a multi-sport, extremely talented athlete in a lot of different sports. Is a very skilled baseball player. It tells you he has good eye-hand coordination. Guy played quarterback at a high level, and he was thrust into that position as a senior. So he's got all the tools. He's still very, very young. I mean, I think before his career at Texas is done, we're going to be talking about him as a really, really good, one of the better tight ends that's come through this program in a long time.
So let me just add something. Can I add one quick thing before you guys move on? Go ahead, Dustin. I do want to add one something into it, though. Go ahead, Dustin. I'll let you go. I apologize. I just want to add in one.
I was going to ask a quick sidebar game question for Jason. Where do you think Leibrock was ranked in the final rankings?
I don't remember. I know he was Rivals 100 for a while. I think he slipped down to the Rivals 250, if I remember correctly. But
77th, the number one tight end really? In the okay. country.
I knew he was in 55. Like, he was really highly ranked.
Yeah, he's way up there.
He was always kind of right around that fringe Rivals 100, but I couldn't remember if he finished in or out. But, yeah, so.
They ranked him as a 5.9, right?
Yes, yeah.
I think he was one of the, five highest ranked 5.9s. He was, a 5.9 plus. It didn't quite put him in that 6-point category, which is, interestingly enough, the cutoff where it drops dramatically in terms of turning into NFL players. Just one of those little weird little things in my head. Jason, I'm going to move along.
Well, Omar, did you want to?
Just real quick on the tight end thing. One thing is, one of my sources had told me, I don't know if I got that in the last war room, but even though they were excited over the weekend about the using the 12 personnel, the one thing that they wanted to see a little bit more of from these tight ends is basically them off the line, kind of the dirty work. Like, they know these guys can get open and catch passes, but from that blocking perspective, especially from the guys outside of K Brewer, like the Wileys and the Epps and Leibrocks, they want to be able to see those guys kind of stick their head in it. And get that full contact. And the belief is, what they told me is encouraging. They believe it, that they have it, but they haven't done a lot of full practices and padded practices. So just getting them that in that rhythm of, being that total badass that goes can knock someone over, that's kind of the next step for this group.
Jason, we're going to keep it with you. We're going to keep it in the passing game, because I think this will be – is it an interesting little transition question? If we look at the returning players so Devin Duvernay led the Longhorns with 9 touchdown receptions a year ago. Brennan Eagles and Jake Smith were second on the team, regardless of whether or not guys turned pro or not. They each had 6 touchdown receptions apiece. Colin Johnson was then behind them with 3. Tied with 3 touchdown receptions and ranked 3rd in returning players behind Brennan Eagles and Jake Smith, the 3rd leading touchdown reception guy on this team a year ago, coming back with 3, is whom? And just for the record, Jason? I'll say this in the beginning. This isn't a huge – it is Jason and Dustin, and then Alex on the swing back and Onward would be last since he was first. So just for full clarity, this isn't really a hint. This is just to say this getting started. This was not a team that had a lot of different individuals score touchdowns a year ago catching the football. It's very top heavy. So there's no real qualifiers there other than to say from the very beginning, there aren't a lot of options in this.
Yeah, I don't know that there were any receivers. Maybe I'm wrong. You know what? I'm going to go with kind of a wild card here. Roshan Johnson.
Incorrect. Dustin.
At least I'm not chance,
Jason,
on that part.
Yeah, Jason, you and I have the same thought process but I was going to go another running back, Keontae Ingram.
That was my other guess.
Is that your guess?
I think Dustin's right. I think he's right.
Dustin, is that your guess?
Yeah, Keontae.
That's correct. 2 points for McCullough.
They ran that little play where he'd slip out of the backfield a couple times. Yep. I think he scored against Rice and then somebody else later last year.
He's not bad at the wheel route.
Had it down
just
to
think
one
if
of
he
two,
if he
man.
Didn't if he didn't drop the didn't drop the LSU one, he'd have 4.
Yeah, that's 4.
Sadly, that's the play that I remembered, not the touchdowns. The one he didn't get.
Alex, I'll come to you on this. The reason why that really was interesting to me is that so Eagles and Smith combined for 12,
and Duvernay had 9, and Johnson had 3. So among those players, I mean, you're talking about 24 of Sam's touchdown passes from a year ago. That's a void that's going to have to be – Eagles and Smith have to carry the load. But when we look at last year and we see the Epps had 2, Brewer had 1, Rashawn had 1, and nobody else on the team that returns had any, this is a position group as a whole that's got – it can't just be Brennan Eagles and Jake Smith, and we know that Tariq Black is there. But this is a group that – There are a lot of pieces that have to start making impacts that weren't really relied on a year ago because they were able to lean on the seniors, and Eagles and Smith obviously did chip in as well.
Yeah, there's just a ton of vacated opportunity within the wide receiver group. That's going to happen whenever you – I mean
– Who do you think fills that void? If 15 or 12 touchdowns from a year ago are gone, where's that void get filled?
Well, Jake Smith's going to score some of them. Tariq Black's going to score some of them. Marcus Washington's going to score some of them. Jordan Whittington's going to score some of them. And I think that the rest will be, you know, and what about Joshua Moore? Like he's going to score some of them. So, I mean, I think it can be something where it's not necessarily – I'm not sure that any player on this team is going to take up just not just from the touchdown department, but just take all the air out of the room within the receptions department the way that Devin Duvernay did last year. I think it's going to be a little bit more spread around. I would say generally if Jake Smith wasn't kind of somewhat of a timeshare with Jordan Whittington, I would say that guy would be my odds on favorite to. Maybe at this point, just with all the stuff behind the scenes about Brennan Eagles, I don't know exactly what's happening there. I know that Jake Smith is one of the best prospects that I'd ever seen, you know, whenever he came out, and I've continued to be impressed with him as a player when I've seen him in practice and everything like that. So if he wasn't in a timeshare with Whittington, I'd say that he would be my prime suspect to really, you know, take a lion's share of this stuff. The fact that he's going to be splitting a little bit of time, and the fact that, you know, Tariq Black, new to the program, Joshua Moore going to have to get his sea legs sort of back underneath him. There's guys like Marcus Washington and Alvante Woodard who have had, you know, definite points in the season where they've certainly flashed. And so I think that it's going to be spread out. And I think that this receiving corps is good, man. I think it's good. I think that they're going to be fine. I'm not necessarily sure I'm banking on, you know, with everything vacated, mostly by the loss of Devin Duvernay, I'm not sure that there's one guy that's going to step up into that totally, you know, featured alpha role.
On war, is it as easy as, like, who's in the slot and then whoever's in the slot, even if it was, like, Jake Smith, just, you know, if Jake had 6, he'll get 9 this year, like, almost, I don't want to say double, but we know that that's the volume position in the offense.
It seems to be that way, right? I mean, that seems to be what you bet your money on, right? You go from little Jordan Humphrey for Devin Duvernay to probably, you know, logic says this will be the next person. So if it's Jake Smith, that it'll start off being with some Jordan Whittington coming in at some point. Yeah, more than likely, I think that's your good betting odds, I would say, is Jake Smith ends up being that guy and then seeing what happens. Because I think to Alex's point, right now, we just don't know what you get out from that the outside position. Like, you just don't know for sure what Brennan Eagles is or isn't. We know what they're trying to get out of him, but you know what will that look like? We don't know. Like, Tariq Black is in there, you know, competing. So your safe bet, you know, and again, it's like it's a guessing game at this point. But if you had to put down safe money, you would have to go that the person on that inside position usually ends up being the person that gets the lion's share. So you probably have to go with Jake.
Anwar, if I set Tariq Black's touchdowns this season in 10 games, because, you know, they'll probably – if Texas makes a Big 12 championship game, there's 11 a bowl game or whatever they do at the end of the year, maybe 12. But in a 10-game schedule, if I set Black's touchdown receptions at 4.5, over or under?
I'll take the over. I won't go crazy over. So 4.5 is safe because I would have put him in the 5, maybe 6 range, you know, yeah, at that point. So, and that's that's accounting for, you know, late touchdowns. That's accounting for maybe not playing against the best team, you know, all those type of things, and maybe a breakout game here. So I, you know, my guess is that he would be in that five-ish, maybe six-ish range. So I'll take the over.
Jason, given what we've just talked about with the numbers from a year ago, that makes the addition of Black to this offense really pretty crucial. If the idea, and I'm curious, would you take the over, the under?
4.5?
Yeah.
I'd like Almer, I'd go slightly over. I don't think I'd go much over that. But yeah, I'd take the over.
So that does. It makes Black a, when we talk about grad transfers, he may.
Seems a lot more valuable than when he first committed. I mean, I was like, okay, that's nice. Lend some depth. But
what's the bar for the highest, like at the end of the season, the single best grad transfer Texas has had so far is who?
That's a good question. Calvin Anderson, maybe?
Alex, what would you say?
The most important grad transfer?
The guy that at the end ended up being the best pound-for-pound grad transfer Texas has had.
Oh, was Parker Braun a grad transfer?
Yeah, right?
Parker Braun.
So
you than Calvin Anderson, I guess?
Yes.
In the end, you would say absolutely Braun had a better year than Calvin Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, as a college player, yes.
Okay.
Left guard versus left. Time. I don't know. I think I'd take Calvin personally. Well, I was going to say, what about that punter from?
Calvin played. I think your point's fair, Jason. I think your point's fair.
The only point I was trying to make, he
played a more important position. Calvin did, but I think Parker Braun had the better season doing what he does.
But I just wanted to say this. I think Black. I don't think we thought this when Black's made the move. But he's got a chance to end up being the answer to this question in 12 months. Who is the best grad transfer that Texas has?
I'll almost be surprised if he's not the answer after the reports we're hearing from Kenya. I mean, assuming he stays healthy, everything goes well, I'll almost be surprised if he's not the answer to that question.
All right, Dustin, this is a key moment in the game. Because you, of the 5 points through three questions, these guys need to survive you missing this question.
Anwar and I are just tanking on purpose, right?
If Dustin gets
we're going to Hooters, guys.
So, Dustin, I am purposefully lobbing you what I think is a slightly difficult one because I can't have you take a 6-1 lead over the rest of these guys, if at all possible. We may just have to call you the king of the mod before the podcast.
Would it be
done.
A 6-1 lead already?
Yes.
What does he have?
He's got 2 points for the Brewer answer and 2 points for the Ingram answer. And now it's he goes first. So a year ago, I think this one's a difficult one. So Dustin, if you get this, maybe you just deserve to be king of the mods. In terms of returning players, pass breakups, Jalen Green and Kobe Boyce lead the team in terms of returning players with 5 pass breakups last season. Who finished second, technically third, behind both Kobe Boyce and Jalen Green with 4 pass breakups?
Jalen Green, Kobe Boyce. I know this guy had a lot of interceptions, so I don't know if he necessarily had a bunch of pass breakups, but is it Deshaun Jameson?
It is not. Alex, your guess.
Deshaun Jameson would have been my guess. Do you know, I mean, you said it's a hard one?
No, I didn't. I think guessing pass breakups in general is kind of hard. There are some easier statistical questions, I believe. Than this one, yes.
Anthony Cook.
Incorrect. Anwar, you have a chance to get on the board with 2 points.
What's the number of pass breakups this person had last year?
4 pass breakups.
And the guys off the board are?
Deshaun Jameson and Anthony Cook.
I'll go B.J. Foster.
Incorrect. Jason, chance for 2 points.
I got another one, too, that I was going to do. Let me see.
I know, like, I'm down to 2. It's got to be one of these two.
By the way, Brandon
I'm surprised
Onward
didn't
4 pass breakups a year ago. This guy tied Brandon Jones as being, I guess, tied for third on the team with four points.
I'm surprised Anwar didn't guess his guy that he's in on.
Don't say anything. We got
I'm not saying the name.
Jason has a chance to get 2 points here before Dustin gets a second guess.
God, I don't even know which guy you're referring to.
I don't either.
I thought Kobe Boyce was his guy. man, I'm going back. Okay, I've got it down to two that makes sense. And I'm going back to my first pick, whatever that first question was. I think assisted tackles. I'll go with Chris Brown.
Incorrect.
That's it.
Oh. Dustin, you get a chance. It's swung back around to you. You have a guess to get a point.
Like, I, in my head, I for sure had a guy. But all these defense, oh, man. Tough.
3 seconds.
I don't think it was a DB. I'm going to go wild card because I think it might be a different position to say Overshown.
Incorrect. Alex. Oh,
I know he had at least two.
You have a chance for a one-point steal here.
Who all is off the board?
Let me look and see. Half the damn
the guys
defense.
You said.
Jameson's gone. Guys. Overshown is gone. Brown is gone. And Cook is gone.
But who were the guys who you mentioned? That had
Boyce and Green.
Boyce and Green had lead the team in terms of returning players.
Oh, could it – you know, there were those games.
I'm enjoying this more than I should. 3 seconds.
Kenyatta Watson.
Incorrect. Anwar, it's back around.
Oh my gosh! This is it. This is the toughest one. Why did you say the first one was the tough one? Like, this is tougher than all of them.
It's down to two guys. I know it's one of these two.
Come on, shit. I don't know who left that played.
he is potential. This is me, Anwar. This is I have not given anybody else this hint. He is a player that potentially starts this season.
That doesn't really narrow it down.
I know. But I mean,
although not, potentially kind of implies that he's not a surefire starter.
It should imply, given all the names, you guys should. 2 seconds, Anwar. And then Jason gets his last guess, and we say it and we move on.
I don't know. Byron Vaughns.
Incorrect. Jason, last guess.
I'm down to two. It's either. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Adamora or Juwan Mitchell. I'm going to go Juwan Mitchell at linebacker.
Correct.
Jason was a linebacker.
Damn it. Juwan Mitchell.
And I knew it was a linebacker.
I didn't think Adamora played quite enough. So I was like, he'll go off the cuff here.
I thought this one was really interesting because I keep bringing up this stat that Caden Stearns didn't touch the ball enough last year.
He only had like one. That I remember. He only had one.
Right? We didn't even guess him.
I know because I've said it enough.
Exactly. I remember Ketch saying that was beaten into my head that he only had one. So
Dustin,
you almost screwed me up because I was going Juwan Mitchell and then you said, well, that implies he might not be a starter. I'm like, damn it. Maybe it's Adamora then. So you almost you almost threw me off there. So lucky guess on my part, but I'll take
it. How many did Overshown have?
Overshown finished with three.
Ah, damn.
And then Brown had two. Cook had
two. What did Adamora have?
Deli had two. Bimage had two. Adamora had two. Sweat. Devondre Sweat had more pass breakups than Caden Stearns.
Oh, wow.
Just weird stat.
Do they count batted passes as pass breakups? PSID? It's kind of weird.
I think so. I don't see a tip pass stat. Yep. Anwar, I really wanted to bring this up just as a way of saying this secondary under Chris Ash, they got to make more plays. They got to be more disruptive. I almost care more about created turnovers than I do like how many yards they give up and like where they finish nationally ranked in pass defense. I'd rather see them go the Oklahoma State model from a year ago where they just – created a bunch of turnovers, and then when they didn't do that, they gave up touchdowns.
Which is better than
giving up touchdowns on every drive and never creating turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that Chris Ash kind of talked about that was really important, during his conference call this week was the emphasis on tackling. And then when you just look at it, and I'm sure, you know, Alex, now you asked Alex missed tackle stats, and he'd probably run that thing off. I mean, amazingly, because the amount of missed tackles from this team, especially the secondary, it was just atrocious at times. And the thing that you always saw, as we talk about the secondary, is like it always seemed like guys were wanting to make a hit. Like they want to make this big thud as opposed to actually just wrapping up and bringing the guy down. So when I look at what Chris Ash is trying to do and the emphasis on tackling and emphasis on trying to get guys down to the ground and the way that they've been trying to do that, like that becomes like the emphasis because, yes, they definitely need turnovers, right? And they definitely can do more in that realm. I mean, this is one of the worst defenses in the country last year. I mean, it was ranked 100+, and it wasn't that great against the pass. So a turnover is part of it. Tackling is a part of it. Playing fundamentally sound, which seems to be the thing that he's focusing on, like that becomes a huge emphasis. So when we start thinking about the Chris Ash impact, you know, if he can have a positive impact in those particular areas with turnovers being great to have, but hell, if you could just get a guy down on the ground, that would actually help, you know, to put you in like third and manageable situations.
I thought it was interesting, Almar. He did. You're right. It was fundamentals, but, you know, and we hear it every year, but I mean, he really seemed to stress they have to get turnovers. I mean, they have to force turnovers. And I kind of agree with what Kett said, man. You're going to give up yards in the Big 12, man. It's almost time to quit freaking out to some degree about how many yards you give up. But, you know, if you can bend but not break and then force a field goal or force a turnover, that's almost a win in the Big 12. You know, the tackling thing we hear about every year, and it seemed like it's a famous Mac Brown quote. Was that Mac Brown tackling?
What do you call it? A national, like
a national emergency or something.
something like that.
It's an epidemic, guys.
National epidemic. Yeah.
It's not a pandemic. It's an epidemic.
Well, hopefully they can get it under control, but we'll see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you almost have to think of the Big 12 as like just get more possessions than the other team does.
I think if you told me right now, no other stats about anything else the rest of the season, if you tell me the Texas defense leads the Big 12 and turnovers forced, I would put money that Texas wins the Big 12. Now, they could be in the championship game and then something squirrely happens, but forced turnovers is a monster stat in college football. And usually when a team like Oklahoma State challenges for the Big 12, it's because that's an area where they're performing above, you know, what the metrics suggest that defense should create, but they find a way to create those big plays on defense. It just feels like Texas hasn't been that in a long time. Like just, you know, it's been, when was it? You'd go probably back to 2009, the last time that you would point to a Texas defense and say, don't get up and go to the bathroom because they might make a play that goes for 7 points in their direction as opposed to constantly on their heels, right?
We can't even remember questions about last year, dude. You ask us to go back to 2009.
Okay, Anwar, I'm gonna try to – we won't have to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to try to get you in the game, okay?
I got to get one right. Now that's the goal.
Who is the leading returner in rushing attempts on the team? With 163.
We're talking about from last year?
Correct.
Returner and rushing attempts?
Correct.
Okay, well, that's too easy of a question.
That seems too obvious, right?
Yeah, so then I have to go Roshan if you're asking me that question.
Incorrect. Jason, a chance to score.
No, come on.
Oh, wait, does that count sacks too?
Now he said rushing attempts.
Yeah, but don't those count as in college? I'm getting confused. In college, yeah, in college, those count as rushing attempts. In NFL, it goes against team rushing. I'm going to go with Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger.
Damn, that was
the correct answer.
Oh, man.
Well, I thought
don't say Keontae it was easy.
I thought Keontae was obvious.
Yeah, clearly. I was like, it's not Keontae. So I just didn't.
I bet if you took sacks out, it would be Keontae probably, right?
The way this thing broke down. Was Sam finished with 163 carries, Keontae had 144 carries, and Roshan had 123 carries.
How many times was Sam sacked? Do you have that in front of you?
I could look it up.
Quite a bit. It was like highest.
He's sacked 30 times probably. So yeah, take the sacks away.
I think those factor in, I believe, in official stats.
But. Yeah, well, regardless, Anwar said Rashawn, so it doesn't
whatever,
matter.
I'm taking the points.
You're taking the points.
take it.
Jason is now only behind Dustin by 1 point. It's now Dustin four.
Oh, that was a one-point question?
No, you got 2 points. You got 1 point for Juwan Mitchell.
Oh, what the hell? That was a hard question.
Well, you had literally the last guess. It was worth a point. Okay. So it's 4-3-1-0. Real quick, that changed. I mean, even if you include sacks this year, Sam's not leading the team in rushing attempts this year, is he? Because even if you take the sacks away, and I still don't have the number right in front of me, he's still in between Keontae and Roshan. This feels like a year. Am I crazy, Anwar, in that Sam's rushing numbers go down by 40% and we see three running backs with 100-plus carries? Maybe?
I don't know. I mean, because there was design plays, right? And then there was the plays that Sam just kind of improvises on his own. So, you know, it'd be I can't call it, you know, at this point, because in theory you would say, all right, you know, you've got quality running backs in here, and this is what you're going to lean on. But, you know, I don't know if they take that ball out of Sam's hands. And the one thing I remember, you know, was it a year or two ago? And I don't know if it was Beck or Herman who said it, but they said he almost liked running Sam because that gets him into the game and that kind of gets his juices going and that kind of gets him in the flow. So, because that seems to be a part of what gets him going, not quite sure you're going to see that huge of a reduction. Like, I still think at the end of the day, this is what he does, this is what he likes to do. Now, what would be interesting to see is once they get in like fourth and short, are they going to run the same Sam Ehlinger play, over to the right and see if he can get some yardage. But outside of that, I'd be surprised if there's going to be a dramatic reduction, because it just seems to take away from what he is as a quarterback.
Even if there's a slight reduction, I think that they're going to spread the wealth probably among those three guys. I think, you know, just from a running back carry, I don't see one running back or even two really just truly dominating out of that group of three, unless a guy gets hurt.
Sam's injuries keep on impacting seasons, and they did. It happened again a year ago. And I know that it's not as simple as, well, you know, I don't even remember the play that Sam got hurt on, so I don't remember if it was a run play or a pass play. Like, you can't control these things. I just think, in general, you got to keep health. If Sam plays 10 games this year where he doesn't have a concussion, a shoulder injury, a collarbone injury, an ankle injury, a knee injury, anything, if he can just play 10 games healthy, like, it changes his entire – I think it changes his season, and it would have changed last season. I don't know. Like, I repeat what you say, which is, I don't know. Like, every year since he's been at Texas, we've talked about this, and it hasn't changed yet. But what also hasn't changed is he hasn't stayed healthy. So I just wonder, with the running game that they have and the passing game on paper that they have, if this is one area where maybe they can scale back a little bit. But I bet not. I bet at the end he's somewhere – lodged in between all these running backs in terms of carries. And
I don't think he has as many carries as he did last year, but he still might lead the team, because like Dustin said, they're going to, I think, spread the wealth a little bit more this year among their backs.
And if they win, you know, they'll give Sam the ball and have him close the show. So when in doubt, protecting a lead, those would be games where Sam actually is running the football more. If this team is good, you could actually see more Sam running the ball on paper. All right, Jason. You got a chance to take the lead. Ooh, because gosh, it's your turn.
How many more questions do we have?
Well, it depends on how quickly we go through these. Okay. Brennan Eagles, 30. This one will go by real fast. This is just a hit. We'll get the answer right or wrong, and then we'll move on. Brennan Eagles, 32 receptions, is the leading returning receiver in terms of receptions. The second leading receiver on the team in terms of reception is
whom? I'm going to go with the obvious guess, even though you've been throwing us for a loop on these. I'm going to go with Jake Smith.
Incorrect. Dustin, a chance to take back control of this game, even though you lead.
I know.
Well, if it's not Smith, it can't be a receiver. So exactly. I think it's Keontae.
That is correct. Keontae Ingram, 29 receptions, is the second leading receiver on the team. We'll say it and we'll move on because we kind of already talked about receivers. Eagles had 32, Ingram 29, Smith 25, Roshan 23. He actually wasn't that far away. Malcolm Epps had 20. I think sometimes
I would have never guessed.
He would have been my guess.
He would have
really?
Been my guess. Oh, he would have been my guess.
I totally forgot. Like he had that many catches.
I should have.
Damn it, Dustin! Though. You and I are on the same wavelength. I was like, do I go with the obvious? But Ketch has been throwing these curveballs. I thought about Keontae, but
well, Dustin, you now have a 6-3 to 1-0 lead, and it's your turn to take 2 points. You get first guess. The question is: last year on defense, in terms of tackles for loss, Joseph Osai led the team with 13.5. He's back. Taquan Graham was second, kind of surprisingly, with 12, not far behind Osai. Then Malcolm Roach had 9. Who is next and returns with 7?
So returning guys, and that Taquan stat isn't surprising to a Taquan Graham truther you're talking
you
about.
Are well, I think I know a couple of those were just
careful, Alex. Careful, right you now. Have the next guest. You should probably be quiet.
So you said the number is 7.
7 tackles for loss is the third behind Osai and Graham.
Osai 7. Graham. Okay, and then guys like Brandon Jones moved on. Malcolm Roach moved on. Marquez Bimage opted out.
By the way, Bimage only had 2, so he wouldn't be the guy.
I think they were both in the Texas Tech game, too. This is tough. Keandre Coburn?
Incorrect. Alex, it's a chance for you. It was not Keandre Coburn.
Man.
Keandre Coburn had 4.5.
Damn, he only had 4.5.
It's overshown.
It is correct. That is.
Oh my God! Damn.
Good job.
Nice answer, Alex. You get 2 points.
Good job, Alex.
You're back in the game. It's now 6-3-3 on war. Zero. Yeah. But don't worry, Onwar. It's swinging back around. You're going to have a chance. All right, Alex. Now is your turn.
Because Alex wants to go again.
Well, Dustin was first.
Oh, okay.
And so now it is Alex's question, technically. This one's going to be an interesting. Quarterback hits. Joseph Osai had 9 a year ago. Who returns? And this is going to be this will be a chance. There's 2 answers here. There's a tied 4 answer. So if you get the first one right, the next person has a chance to grab 2 points. So this will be a multiple 2-point grabber here, but you can't get 4. You can only get 2. Alex, after Joseph Osai, the 2 players that tied for 2nd on the team in quarterback hits that return is who?
The 2 of them?
There's 2 guys that return that tied Malcolm Roach with 3 quarterback hits a year ago to be ranked 2nd on the team, if you can believe that. That's the most – can I curse for a second? That's the most pathetic fucking pass rushing stat I have ever heard.
Yeah.
The 2nd leading pass rusher on the team had 3. All right, sorry. Rant over. Who are they, Alex? You get first guess. There's 2 guys. There's 2 guys.
So I – but I
– you all you have to do is get one of them.
I think that – I think Taquan Graham is one of them.
Incorrect. He only had 2. Onwar, this is a big opportunity for you. You could get back into the game.
I'm going to go someone off the cuff because all my questions have been off the cuff. I'm going to say Mauro Ojomo.
That's one of the 2. Congratulations.
Damn, good call, Onwar.
I thought we were going to go forever and nobody was going to get Ojomo.
Yeah, he'd have been down my list of guesses.
So, Jason, you've got a chance to grab 2 points.
I'm going to go with the obvious, Juwan Mitchell.
Correct.
Correct.
Juwan Mitchell.
Is it him or Coburn, I figured, right? What did Coburn have?
Coburn had, so the way this went, Osai had 9, Roach 3, Mitchell 3, Ojomo 3, Graham 2, Bimage 2, McCulloch 2, Overshown won, Coburn won, Jameson won, Marcus Tillman won, and that's it, baby. Brandon Jones had none, Stearns had none, Foster had none, Brown
that's
had
pathetic.
None.
That's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So
when you're blitzing from 25 yards down.
And not just 25 yards delayed. Back, about 3 seconds after the ball snap, yeah, you're sitting, guys.
Okay, Onward. This is the easiest question.
Wait, what's the point to tally?
We're now at Dustin has 6, Jason has 5, Alex has 3, Onward has 2. There are 5 questions left.
There are 5 questions left?
But we're going to do them fast. This we're going to do them fast.
Podcast. Okay,
Alex? Or Onward. It's your turn.
Yeah, it's me.
Joseph Osai had 62 solo tackles a year ago. He led the team, or actually was second on the team behind Brandon Jones, who had 64. Who was third on the team in solo tackles, but ranked second in terms of returning solo tackles?
You know, out of spite for you, out of spite for you, I'm going to say Caden Stearns.
That's correct. You are back in the game, Onward. You are not even in last place anymore.
This is come from behind. That was out of pure spite. Like that was just out of that was a spiteful Brendan Eagles versus Caden Stearns answer outside of me actually knowing him.
There's a reason why I gave you that question. That you figured out my deception there was outstanding.
Thank you.
Chris Brown behind him with 37.
That would have been my pick, yeah.
Deshaun Jameson, 29. Mitchell, 27. Bunch of guys in the 20s at that
point. One of these Chris Brown picks of mine is going to hit at some point.
Jason. Chris Brown. You have a chance to take the lead.
Okay.
Go Chris Brown, regardless.
That's what I'm going to show.
Watch him really be the
question
answer.
That I could ask. Jason, this one, actually, I'm going to save the hardest question for last. It'll be the ultimate tiebreaker. There are only 3 questions left. Interceptions. Deshaun Jameson led the team last year with 3. Who was second?
I'm going to do it. Chris Brown.
Incorrect. Chris Brown had 1 interception. Dustin.
Oh.
You know what I think?
So Deshaun had 3. Wow. That means the next guy only had 2 or maybe 1?
No, the next guy had 2.
Okay, he had 2.
Because Chris Brown did have 1.
I'm trying to think in my head of the guys I know for sure that had 1.
I think the team only had 12 interceptions a year ago.
Oh my God, that's bad.
And I think you can clinch a victory, maybe, if you get this right.
I don't think it's any of the safeties. The corners were banged up a bunch. I'm going to go way off the wall because I know this guy had an interception late in the year because he dropped into the flats and they used him that way sometimes instead of pass rushing him all the time. Is it Mitchell or I'm going to go Joseph Osai.
Joseph Osai is the correct answer.
Damn it, I knew this one.
Yes.
Didn't he have like 2 in 1 game? Or maybe he had 2, but 1 got called back.
He had the one game where because he got the tip. I was thinking there's one late in the year where he dropped into and grabbed one. I can't remember what game it was.
All right. We're going to finish this out. Dustin, you haven't mathematically clinched this yet because technically Sukumel could still catch you in the right set of circumstances. But it is your turn to go, right? Because you had the second guess there.
Yeah.
Jason went last. So we're going to go sacks. Taquan Graham.
I'm in.
So Joseph Osai had 5, and Taquan Graham had 3.5. Who had 3 and ranked 3rd on the team, tied with Malcolm Roach? And then you guys are going to love my last question.
I've got 3 of my favorite guys in my head. Keandre Coburn?
Incorrect. Damn. Alex.
The question again was what? I'm sorry.
Basically, who finished 3rd on the team in sacks last year, tied with Malcolm Roach with 3, behind Taquan Graham, who had 3.5, and Joseph Osai, who had 5.
You know, was it – I don't want to say overshown again. Oh, what about
– a bunch of dudes are bunched together. So this is – there's like six names within half a sack of each other or a sack of each other.
B.J. Foster.
Incorrect. Anwar.
Well, the only guys that I think that – really rushed the passer came from like the linebacker position. I mean, because no one else was freaking getting pressure on them. So
we know the secondary wasn't getting there.
So we know it's not the secondary.
I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
We know it's not the secondary, and we joked about Caden Stearns rushing from 25 yards back. So it's got to be something a little bit closer than that. So I'm just gonna fucking Juwan Mitchell.
Correct. Juwan Mitchell is the answer. And Anwar, in the end, I gave back to you the thing that you said I gave to the others. And it was really weird. I didn't mean to give an inadvertent hint, but I did.
My protest is officially withdrawn.
How many did he have?
He now has 6. So Anwar, you had
no,
a
no,
chance.
I mean, how many sacks did
he have? Oh, he had 3.
How many did Overshown have? I was
2.
Okay, I was kind of going back
and
those.
And Malcolm, yeah. So, and Adeli had 2.5, and Coburn had 2. So all those guys were either 2, 2.5, or 3. Jason, I mean, Anwar, you're up, right? Alex went first. You're up. If you get the last question, you can tie Dustin.
No way.
For top mod.
All right, let's do it.
Is an offensive question. Okay. I saved the hardest question for the last in the event that we had to do this.
You got to make this 3-point question.
Okay. Here. You know what? Does everybody agree that it's a 3-point? It's hard.
Eliminate
it's hard.
Any possibility for a tie.
It's hard.
What do I have? Dustin's got what?
Dustin, you know what? This is a 5-point question.
What?
Everybody's eligible.
All. That's horse shit.
So the last hour meant nothing, Dustin.
Shit.
The 5-point question.
What was that MTV basketball game where you get to shoot like 50-pointers with a minute left or something like that?
So here's the deal.
Last I'm protesting.
Year, Devin Duvernay averaged
100. Oh, now who's protesting? Where was that?
Yeah, I'm protesting. Mark it. Mark the tape.
106 yards per game Devin Duvernay averaged a year ago.
Okay, hold on. Dude, hold on. This is important. Say that again.
So Duvernay led the team in yards per receiving yards per game at 106.
Okay.
Colin Johnson was next at 79.9. Okay. Eagles was next at 43.5. Jake Smith is back with 21.08. And Keontae Ingram had 18.62. So I've eliminated 5 guys, 3 returning guys. No Eagles, no Smith, no Keontae Ingram. Like I said, it's going to be a hard question.
Why don't you just eliminate the whole offense?
Who was next in receiving yards per game at 18.5? No Ingram, Smith, or Eagles.
Malcolm Epps.
Incorrect.
Ah,
Jason,
is it my turn now?
No, Jason has a chance to win the game if he gets this correct.
Man. Whoever gets this one. Wait, who did you eliminate, Catch? I'm sorry.
Eagle, Smith, Ingram. Poof, gone.
In Anwar said Epps.
Correct.
Epps. It's got to be one of these two. Give me Roshan.
Incorrect. Dustin, you have a chance to win this in blowout fashion.
They took my first 2 guesses. Oh, man. Okay,
Dustin doesn't get like 15 minutes to go to his answer.
No, we're going to do this rapid fire because then we got to get into party.
So you've eliminated Keontae, Smith, Eagles.
Epps, and Roshan. 5 names have been eliminated. I will give a hint if you and Alex both miss.
Receiving yards per game. You said it was 18.
I gave you this answer earlier in this podcast, and when I say it, you're going to remember, and you're good. Or maybe you won't. It was very quick. It's related to a different statistic that took place.
I don't think this is right, but I'm going to say Cade Brewer.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Not far behind, though. Alex, you have a chance
Marcus Washington.
Incorrect. Onward. Back around to you.
There's only one other person I can think of.
This can't count as 5 points now.
It does not count as five points. But by the way, here's the hint. Here's the hint.
Oh, man.
Because we went through, everybody got a guess. The hint would be there are no qualifications in how this stat was accumulated.
Oh, well, that's a game changer. Well, then it's not the right stat then, because Kenny Lewis averaged 37 yards a game.
He did
yeah,
not.
So it's Kennedy Lewis.
It is Kennedy Lewis, but he did not average 37 yards per game. He played in two games, and he averaged 18.5 yards per game, and he is the answer.
The answer?
But Dustin is the winner because nobody got it the first time around.
No, it was my guess.
Yeah, but you got a point. But you finished second.
Oh, well, I was thinking Jordan Whittington anyway. So.
You and Jordan Whittington. That dude,
I was right. I was on
that
the right
dude
track.
Played like a game. Like
Whittington averaged 17 yards per game. Hey, he wasn't far away.
Exactly. I remember he had that catch against, I think it was LSU, right? And I was like, okay, yes. It's got to be someone who only had like one or two catches. Played only a couple games, so I wasn't too far off. So.
You're not far off?
I thought for sure it was going to be Epps.
Whittington played in one game, and he had two receptions for 17 yards.
What was Epps? What did Epps have?
Epps finished with 17 points. He would have been next on the list behind Kennedy Lewis.
17.85.
So, but after Smith, Ingram, Lewis, Epps, Brewer, and Whittington all averaged between 17 and 19 yards a game. Kind of a weird stat, but I brought it up in the beginning just as kind of like the touchdown stat where these dudes are going to have to fill some. We talked about the touchdown void needing to be replaced. The receiving yards per game, I mean, you're talking about 186 yards gone, and all the guys that are coming back to replace that void together average less than half that together. And now they have to, you know, Sam, we mentioned Tariq Black, like this is where he's got to come in. This unprovenness of the skill positions has to manifest itself into like quick answers, I think. All right, that's the game. Dustin, congratulations. You're king of the mods. And the first ever
king of the castle. King of the castle.
For the record, Onwar came all the way from last place and finished with 7 points. And, you know, if I hadn't cut the 5 points down to 1 point after the huge hint on the Kennedy Lewis, he'd have tied you maybe. Jason finishes with 5. The betting favorite coming into this was Alex, and he finishes with 3 points after getting the first one correct.
Well,
I thought it was like golf. We're going for the low score, right, Alex?
Well, in that case, I finished with none, and I just think that'll stay.
Good job, Dustin. Good job.
Congratulations, Dustin. For the record, Dustin got the Cade Brewer question right, the Keontae Ingram question right, the Keontae Ingram question. Keontae Ingram carried him to victory, and then got Joseph Osai. It was Brewer, Ingram, and Osai. Were the ones that carried Dustin to victory. Jason, you now have to go in and give Dustin 500
trophy points,
which makes him the trophy points leader.
Still
on the
about
side.
995,995 behind me, or something like that.
Do you have a million trophy points?
You have
yes.
Did you really give yourself a million trophy
points? I did that
points?
Just to drive the subscribers crazy.
I'm looking at his account right now. He's got a million trophy points.
I did that like 5 years ago.
Dustin, do you know where we're eating, by the way, or are you going to need some time to think about this?
I'm going to need some time. Okay. I've got to think of, like, you know.
I mean, it's your choice.
The pandemic weighs into
I put no qualifiers else. On it. So, take your time. Think about it. If you go Thai or something like that, just know that I won't be eating. But it's your choice.
Okay.
Let's go into parting shots. Dustin, as king of the mods, you go first.
Basketball news-wise, the KT Turner hire is not – official in terms of a press release and everything like that from Texas. But they did, Shaka Smart and him did reach an agreement. I believe that was late Tuesday night. and become the new associate head coach at Texas. Expecting that one to probably be done sometime next week, probably early next week, with also the expectation that Jay Lucas is still very likely to end up at Kentucky. I think that's just a matter of time, and that matter that would become official. I think, you know, if you're making a list of boxes that need to be checked, if you're losing a guy like Jay Lucas, you got to hire somebody. If you're Shocker Smart, you got to hire somebody that's got Texas ties, that's, you know, been on a bench for a long time, that's got some recruiting chops, that's a guy that a lot of people know. And I think that's what he did with KT Turner. And I know it wasn't an easy get for Texas, because this is a guy that was making a lot of money at SMU. I'd actually heard that Texas went after him a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and was unsuccessful. And I think that's probably because of how much money he was making at SMU. And as we know right now, money's not growing on trees, even at places like Texas, because of the pandemic. So Texas getting that one done felt like a must for them. So kind of breathing a little easier, I think, around the basketball program right now too. And I think recruiting wise, even with, you know, Jay Lucas kind of with one foot out the door, I think it could be a pretty eventful next few weeks for Texas on the basketball front, because a lot of these guys are seen in basketball, because there wasn't a traditional spring, summer, AAU season and all that sort of stuff. A lot of guys are deciding earlier now. They're kind of getting these things out of the way. They kind of know who's recruiting them the most, and they want to probably decide quicker and then eventually sign in November, as opposed to maybe dragging these things out. So I think it could be a pretty eventful next few weeks for Texas on the basketball recruiting front as well. But yeah, KT Turner, just a matter of time before he becomes official. And I think – you know, keep an eye on any guys that play for the MOCAN AAU program. I've heard that he's got a really, really good relationship with that AAU program. He had a lot of success with a couple of guys at SMU that ended up going to the NBA. So that could be a program to watch moving forward.
Basketball recruiting this year, not as insane as football recruiting, maybe.
Yeah. I've grown used to like covering a five-star until like, I don't know, May, June, most recruiting cycles with like, you know, Jared Allen and Greg Brown and guys like that. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if Texas's non-transfer class, so just its high school guys, could be done by their early signing period. Now, Damian Collins is their top target, and Kentucky just offered him, which is a weird coincidence considering Jay Lucas is the main recruiter there. But that one could drag out a little bit. But even that's a guy that wants to decide in the early period. So Texas's high school class could be done by November at the latest, although they definitely want to add a couple of transfers to that class eventually.
Am I the only one that still thinks of the football prospect Damian Collins whenever I hear the basketball prospect Damian Collins' name? Has it been too long that you guys don't even remember?
I went to – where did he go? They had green jerseys, green and white jerseys. Where was he? Because I went and covered his – no, that was, I'm thinking of somebody else. Damian Collins, was he the receiver?
Yes.
From Copper's Cove?
No. I don't even remember.
I'm trying to think who – okay, I got that one wrong. I'm trying to think of the guy who was – I don't know. I've lost my train of thought.
All right, anyway.
I need more coffee. I used all my brain power to win.
Mine's just – wow, that's hilarious. Mine's just real simple, man. Like, I'm really geeked up that we are, you know, less than, what, about 2.5 weeks away from the start of college football season. You know, we've got fantasy football. We got a draft that catches thrown together in a week that I will have to spend the entire weekend preparing for, because I have done, I think, one mock draft. Thinking about NFL coming around, it's just – you know, it's good. It's just good to kind of have that, you know, somewhat semblance of normal. And I know it's we're not going to be at a quote unquote normal like we used to be back in you know, last year per se. But to have some semblance of it, to be able to look forward to some sort of college football season, even though it's going to be a scaled down version to a certain degree. But looking forward to that, looking forward to, you know, hell, who would have ever said I'd be excited to watch Texas play UTEP? But looking forward, you know, to that and enjoying it and hoping that we could just get through a college football season that's unscathed, that doesn't really have delays and isn't pushed back. And so I'm just excited. Like, I got more pep in my step. I've got, you know, more juice in the tank. Like, I'm feeling really good about college football, NFL football, just being right around the corner. So and even fantasy football, even though I'm convinced I'm just going to throw away $200 this year, I'm still excited that – football is going to be here, that football is back, and I'm ready. Let's get it on.
To be fair, every year, mathematically, the odds are that you're throwing away $200 every year.
Yeah, but to be fair, this thing could have been set up like weeks ago. I mean,
well, yeah, but would that change anything for you? Like, yeah, have you done 5,000 mock drafts with your number 7 pick? Is that really changing it for you?
It changes it mentally going in, sure.
I'm telling you, you asked a question.
No, you asked a question. Would it change it? Like, mentally, if I felt like I was more prepared, absolutely. Especially when you start thinking about, like, the deeper rounds.
How much preparation do you need?
Oh, man, I do, like, easily, like, 50 to 60 mock drafts before a draft.
Well, you can still do 50 or 60 mock drafts.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing it all weekend long. I've cleared my weekend schedule.
You've cleared your schedule. Okay.
I've cleared my schedule. Like, I will do the Sunday pulpit and mock drafts. That's all I'm doing this weekend.
I thought last year you didn't do the mock drafts, so now you're back.
Well, okay. Last year I finished with 5 wins.
Fair enough.
I think the year before that I finished with 5 wins. I don't know. Never mind. I still want time to prepare.
Fair enough. Jason, your turn. Closing parting shot. Go.
Yeah, a few things. I'm the polar opposite of Anwar. The day of our draft, I'll print out a sheet and just kind of, you know, I may spend 30 minutes looking for deep sleepers or something, but I just don't have the patience to invest that much time researching it. Last week on our podcast, my parting shot was about somebody stealing the bin of kids' books that my wife had put out for, like, her charitable thing for her neighborhood. I shit you not, as we were recording last week, I come out and my wife's like, you're not going to believe this. Somebody stole the second bin where she had, like, 50 adult books. That sounds bad, but 50 books in there. So whoever stole those books.
If they were adult books, Jason, well, let's be honest.
Let's say I would have stolen them. Yes. They're stashed under the couch. No, but kudos. Whoever stole them, I hope the hell you enjoy them, because just low down that they took every single book. They took the whole bin. Probably 2 persons to carry the damn bin, but they took the whole bin. So whatever.
Sure. Yeah,
so my other parting shot. Jason Howell, our old buddy Jason Howell, reached out to me. He's on vacation. He's actually coming into Austin tomorrow, and they're staying at the Domain, and I'm going to go meet him and his fiance and just hang out on their little courtyard at their thing and just take
Baby Oil reunion.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. I can't remember the last time I hung out socially with Hal. I've seen him at a couple recruiting events here and there, but yeah, man, looking forward. His birthday was yesterday. So looking forward to seeing Hal and just kind of catching up. We'll do some weird social distancing, like I said, in the courtyard of his deal, so we'll be safe. But
do me a favor.
Yeah, what's up?
When she's done, take, like, her glass of water or whatever.
Who are you talking to?
You. Take Jason Howell's fiance's water and put it in a cup and bring it back. It's got to be holy, because anybody that would marry him has to be a saint, right? So
you said her. I didn't know. I thought you were talking. I thought maybe your wife crossed in the room or something.
I was saying get like the leftover drink from Hal's fiance, because she has to be a saint if she's marrying
Hal.
What?
I think. Listen, I love Hal, but I think he treats her like a queen, dude. Makes her breakfast and makes her coffee in the morning. He's a better fiance than I am a husband. I think
he is the rip. Of you guys probably don't watch Yellowstone, but like Rip does that for like his fiance.
Is it any surprise that Hal's pussy whipped though? Come on. Love the dude, but come on. So talking about that, you know, we're going to do some social distancing, hanging out his courtyard of his hotel, man. This week, two of my daughters started back. One of them started lacrosse, and my other one just went to gymnastics last night, which is weird, man, going into a gym. And they're taking so many measures, so I'm appreciative of that, but it's still weird. So I sat there for 2 hours with a mask on and watched her do her gymnastics. I did get a lot of my war room written, so that was nice. But I just kind of hit a breaking point this week with this whole COVID stuff, man. I was talking to my parents about it. I'm like, you know, Norm, I look forward to take a couple weeks a year. I'd sandwich them in and usually like April, May, and then one in the summer. And I don't know, man, I'm just kind of at a breaking point. I did take a trip to the beach with the wife and kids, but it, 2 commitments, and I'm tracking Mike Maslinski there. I'm just like, I'm just ready. Maybe I'm crazy, and I'm kind of curious to hear everybody's quick thoughts. I'm just ready to get on a plane and go somewhere with just the wife and leave the kids at home with my parents, always take care of them. I don't know. I haven't had that itch until literally this week, and now it's just I can't stop wanting to scratch that itch. I think I've officially hit my breaking point with COVID. Is anybody else there with me, or am I alone in that?
No, I think I hit that. I think I hit that thing months ago.
Yeah. Did you? Not necessarily the travel aspect, but like the last couple of weeks, it's killed me like to just not be able to go out and like eat inside of a restaurant and like that be normal.
Yeah, we have not done that. I've eaten on a patio, but I've not gone into a restaurant since March, since this thing hit. And like, I don't know, man. I mean, it's a joke about Hal being pussy, but I cherish my wife and I always do one trip a year, which is the two of us. And we just kind of, it just helps us recharge. And I don't know, man. I'm like, I seriously like me.
Get a tent and go camping.
It's too damn hot for that, man. And I want to do something.
You don't cherish your wife that much, huh?
Well, she wouldn't cherish me that much.
Fair enough. Well, I just said that because, you know, Kristen's very outdoorsy.
She is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I was like. I saw it today. I was like, hey, $99 to fly to Colorado. Let's go to Colorado for like 4 days.
I knew you were going to say Colorado.
Yeah.
God, I know you too well.
There's 3 weeks where Texas is off. I'm like, there's not going to be any recruiting visits. So I might as well just.
Why don't y'all just drive? It's like a day trip. I mean, once Texas has a bye week.
Yeah. It's about 17 hours. But no, so I seriously want it. She, I don't think, is ready to get on a plane. I would.
Breakfast that stuff. You know, go to like, just drive to Denver, get a badass bed and breakfast. And like,
just. I might do something because I don't know, man. I just kind of hit my breaking point. I mean, personally, I would get on an airplane and go do something. I don't think she's quite ready.
Not me.
And the last thing I've got, hey, you know, interesting recruiting week. Texas picks up a quarterback commitment on Saturday. Not looking for anything to happen this weekend necessarily, but I think early next week we could have more news. So just keep an eye out for that. And that is my kind of all over the place parting shots.
I'm going to save what I was going to say and just move on. Alex, your parting shot.
I was talking about these mock drafts and need to get it done. Like, I'm next. Like, I don't even do mock drafts. I just take my cheat sheets from the cheat sheet that we have at Roster Watch that I'm testing right now for PPR, and I just upload it into a simulator, then just watch the simulations come in. So just so my brain can, you know, take in hundreds and thousands of these things.
You do this for a living, though, Alex. Like,
this sim I just did is probably, if I could get this team.
I want you to know, outside of me, I'm rooting for you to win the league this year.
Yeah, well, I can't be the bridesmaid every fucking year.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry for the swear jar.
You have to put it into the swear jar. Jason, I think you were in the league when Alex first joined.
No, but that was because he was counting like damn or some silly words.
No. I'm saying Alex joined our fantasy football.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the swear jar.
When you were still playing.
That's right.
And
yeah.
He has not yet won the league.
Oh, gosh. That's been a long time.
And it's not fair. No, Alex has had good teams.
It comes down to dumb luck in the end a lot.
Now, to be fair, I have not won since 2010. So I am dry. I think I've lost in the finals to Dustin twice. So fuck him. You know, I'll put it in the swear jar. I don't care.
I've won the last in my other like main home league. I've won the last five or the last four seasons. So at least I've had better luck there in that league. I'm snaked. How did I come up against Hostradamus last year? Whenever he's got, you know, just it was the absolute. It was he scored 230 points on it. It was like, I mean, what the hell? How can that possibly be true? I tried to cut a deal with him before it. I was like,
he wanted no part of your 50-50 splitting of the pot.
That league's hard to cut deals in. Like in my other leagues, I always I get to the championship. I always like to cut deals just because
I tried to cut it with Dustin the year before. He wanted no part of it either. Because he knew he was a better team than me.
Deal cutting are you guys talking about?
It catches league. It's like
$2,400, $1,800.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's so heavy. So I just say like, let's just split it. You know, let's winner maybe gets an extra $400 or something like that. But then gets to all the bragging rights.
Well, because it's around Christmas, so like that grand makes a difference.
It's a big deal. But yeah, I think he catches league. It's like three of the last 4 years I've been in the Super Bowl, and it's just every time it's just such a swindle. But yeah, this year will be different. I'm out. That'll be my parting shot. I'm out to murder every one of you D-bags.
I think I've got 5 second place finishes in the last 10 years, at least four. I'm not happy about that. God damn, that depressed me. Alex, did you have a parting shot? That's the thousands of simulations that you're going to be watching. Can you share that with us?
I'm preparing to murder you guys.
Can you just take me off the hook and give it to Anwar at least so that he can save his weekend and not blame me for not having the league set up?
Elon Musk is coming out with this thing where we can start sharing our thoughts. So yeah, I can get this stuff uploaded into my brain. We can just buy that deal.
That sounds like sarcasm to me.
It didn't sound like he planned on having that to you by Saturday.
No, screw him. In that regard, I hope Alex doesn't make the playoffs. Then that's his attitude.
It was a very small humble brag. Well, you know, while Anwar is doing 50 or 60, I'll do like 5,000.
Haven't I gone to as many championship games since I've been in the league as Alex?
You have. Okay. You've been to. Yeah. Well, how many have you been to? Two.
One.
Okay.
No, then that's certainly not true.
Well, I've only been in the league for like 5 years.
Yeah. Dustin, it was 2 years ago you pinched me, you bastard.
I think three.
I'm better than Hostradamus one. We should.
And then the last time I won before that was I hit the Michael Vick jackpot when he played for the Eagles. Yeah. And I used part of that money to buy an engagement ring.
Dustin, when I say Mark Ingram, what do you think of?
I think of the Bears not being able to fucking tackle the guy, and the one possible outcome to eliminate me happened. I'll never forget where I was. I was standing up, holding the side of the wall, watching that on a TV at my now wife's apartment when we first started dating. And I think she learned real quick that fantasy football is a serious thing in this relationship.
Fantasy football is going to cause the swear jar to overflow.
The league entry fee keeps going up.
You've got to account for the bounties of curse words. And
we're at $159 raised so far, guys.
Cool.
We should be at after this podcast closing on 200.
So. Oh, I dropped a couple F bombs, so I'm good. All right. I have no parting shot other than to say, guys, the next few months are going. I don't even want to get into it. There's a lot going on in the world. Let's just try to be nice to each other as best we can. Just be nice. That's it. Like on Orange Bloods, in your fantasy leagues, out on the streets. Nice is better than not nice. That's it. That's the only thought I had today. Just seems like a good thing to kind of be. For myself and Alex and Anwar and Jason and the King of the Mods in the very first game of King of Mods, Dustin McComas, thanks for listening. We'll do it again next week. We won't play this game next week, but we will do the podcast again next week. Later.